take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, September 29, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome, welcome to the banks of the Willamette River. We are live and direct from beautiful, legal Potland, Oregon, where it's pretty nice outside, but it's got that bite of fall, that little crisp fall air starting to descend on the City of Roses. And speaking of this city, coming up on Saturday, October 1st, we mark our first year, our one-year anniversary of legal marijuana sales to people who aren't sick here in this state. And so there's a lot of retrospectives going on here in Portland. Noelle Crombie, the beat reporter at The Oregonian, who covers marijuana issues, interviewed me a while back about my thoughts on the one-year anniversary, and those will be appearing in a story of hers. I think it's out in the Sunday paper, but I'm not sure when it's coming out. Should be out in the next few days regarding the one-year anniversary. So we'll get Noelle's story on that, and I should have some nice quotes embedded within. Speaking of that one-year anniversary of legal marijuana sales, we're also starting to get some of the data in on those marijuana sales. And coming up in our drug war data mining segment today, we take a look at a report from BDS Analytics on Oregon's cannabis industry trends, including what proportion flower makes up compared to other products like extracts and edibles. What is our average retail price here in Oregon? And how much can we expect the market to grow? That's all coming up in drug war data mining. Coming up right after that, in our interview segment, half past the hour, we've got our bi-monthly visit with Jorge Cervantes, the legendary cannabis grower from MarijuanaGrowing.com. We'll be talking to Jorge. He's making his way down to California, so he's going to be talking to us by cell phone in his car. But we'll be talking to Jorge and taking your live calls on the questions you might have about marijuana growing. So check that out coming up at half past in our Cultivator's Corner. At the end of the first hour today, we'll have time for a radical rant, and I'm taking a look at a new phenomenon, Breitbart News. I don't know if you know these guys. They're kind of a right-wing Drudge Report, Fox News kind of a website. Breitbart News is running with the new reefer madness fear out there that I like to call Tatum's Terrorist Tokers. We'll talk about that, how the fear-mongering surrounding marijuana use and the spate of terrorist activities and mass shootings we've had in this country, how they're trying to tie those two things together. So we'll cover that in the rant. Also on the show today and behind the headlines, we're going to take a look deeper at a headline story we'll bring you in the news about Hillary Clinton's daughter, Chelsea Clinton, who made quite a gaffe when it comes to discussing marijuana policy and how that is hurting Hillary Clinton's candidacy, particularly in swing states with millennial voters. New York Magazine is also taking a look at it, asking how weed could actually solve Hillary's millennial problems. I don't know about that, but we'll take a look at it. That all comes after the Cannabis Radio News, and in the headlines today, the aforementioned gaffe by Hillary Clinton will get some play. We also get an update in Hawaii, where we got some deadlines on, or some timelines on when they'll get their first dispensaries open. Oakland, California is deadlocked on a plan for licensing that's raising a few eyebrows. We've got a study on how the Bible affects people's support for marijuana legalization, and California nurses standing behind Prop 64. That's all coming up in Hour 1, and then stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where you are the voice of the marijuana nation, and we take your calls live at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. Stay tuned. The news is next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We'll be right back. Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they were all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know. And that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, September 29th, 2016. Hillary Clinton's daughter, Chelsea, has hit the campaign trail to shore up her support among millennials, but may have lost support with a gaffe on marijuana policy. At Youngstown State University in Ohio, an important swing state where Secretary Clinton trails Donald Trump, Chelsea Clinton was asked by a student about Hillary Clinton's stance on rescheduling cannabis to facilitate more scientific research. Chelsea Clinton responded that her mother supports research and regulatory reform, but then added this observation that marijuana-savvy millennials know to be false.
But we also have anecdotal evidence now from Colorado where some of the people who were taking marijuana for those purposes, the coroner believed after they died there was drug interactions.
A spokesperson for Clinton has walked back the comments, telling the Washington Post in a statement that, quote, Chelsea misspoke about marijuana's interaction with other drugs contributing to specific deaths, end quote. One of Hawaii's 8 licensed medical marijuana dispensaries says it plans to begin selling its products by early next year. The Maui News reports Maui Wellness Group LLC spokeswoman Terry Friedis Gorman says the business is in its final phase of permitting and will begin cultivating as soon as it receives final approval by the State Department of Health. She says she's not sure when that will happen. The business has 11 employees, but plans to have as many as 30 when cultivation begins to handle processing, packaging, selling, and security. The group will grow marijuana on about 7 acres of privately owned agricultural land in central Maui. The state's 8 licensed dispensaries have been able to open for business since July, but none have made the move.
The Oakland City Council has deadlocked on a controversial plan to cut the city in on all commercial marijuana operations, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. The plan by council members Delcy Brooks, Larry Reed, and Noel Gallo would require all pot businesses and anyone who leases property to a pot business to give 25% of their profit and at least one seat on their board of directors to the city in exchange for permits to operate. Money reaped from the arrangement would fund council district activities, loans for aspiring entrepreneurs, community beautification, and three job training programs run by politically connected people. The plan would also restrict cannabis operating permits to people who have lived in Oakland for at least 5 years. Opponents say the plan would choke off the city's pot trade. Supporters claim it would generate vital revenue for the city and allow city officials to impose racial equity on the multi-billion dollar industry, given that most its top players are white. A study in the International Journal of Law, Crime, and Justice finds that religious people who believe the Bible is the literal word of God are less likely to support marijuana legalization. Biblical literalists were 58% less likely to support legalization compared to religious folks who interpret the Bible as moral fables not to be taken literally. Frequency of church attendance also correlated to greater opposition to legalization, but how deeply held one's religious beliefs were did not predict opposition to legalization. Ironically, for the biblical literalists, page one of the Bible contains the command from God that says, quote, "I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat," end quote. The California Nurses Association, National Nurses United, the nation's largest state organization of nurses, announced today that it has endorsed Proposition 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, which will be on the California ballot in November. Quote, "California nurses believe strongly that the prohibition and criminalization of marijuana has ruined generations of lives, wasted hundreds of millions of taxpayers' dollars, and failed to protect the public health and safety," end quote, said Deborah Berger, president of California Nurses Association, NNU. The California Medical Association and the California Academy of Preventive Medicine have already endorsed Proposition 64. Other endorsers include California League of Conservation Voters, California Council of Land Trusts, California State NAACP, California Democratic Party, Courage Campaign, Equality California, and Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, September 29th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the cannabis crusade. Join us November 8th for Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Okay, maybe you're high too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton, who once was riding high in the polls in August with a commanding lead over Donald Trump, but now has seen the gap narrowing and has only herself to blame, if you ask me. But one of the things that's scary about this is taking a look at how some of the swing states that were strongly in Clinton's favor have moved quite a bit. From July through August, if you took a look at Colorado's polls, now Colorado is what they call a purple state, could go Republican, could go Democrat, not quite sure. Over the summer, all these polls were showing double-digit leads. Monmouth, Fox, NBC News, Quinnipiac, Colorado picking Clinton over Trump by double digits. Easily, right? And this has been part of the strategy. You know, she just needs to basically capture the same states that Obama captured, and she becomes the president. The problem, though, is the poll that just came out after this debate, CNN ORC, just released a Colorado poll that shows that she's narrowly trailing Donald Trump. Trump's up by one in the CNN ORC poll, and CBS News YouGov has Clinton up by one. So here she is, struggling to win Colorado, a state that was double digits in her lead, and a big portion of that problem has to do with young voters. It's the crosstabs when you start looking deep into this poll. If they ask the people in a two-party race who they're going to choose, Clinton or Trump, well, she comes out 50 to 45. She's got a five-point lead that way. But if you put this among likely voters in a four-way race, you throw in Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, Clinton loses 5 points. And the reason, or at least one of them, 30% of voters under 45 picked a third-party candidate, 30% of them, 24% being, that is one out of four almost, are picking Gary Johnson, 24% in Colorado, which is not enough for him to win Colorado, but it's certainly enough for Hillary Clinton to lose Colorado to Donald Trump. This has been found in a number of polls where people have looked at the millennials and who they're choosing, and they're increasingly turned off by Trump and Clinton, and they are turning to the third party. They're turning to Gary Johnson. So what is it that you, what do you do if you're the Clinton campaign and you've got this millennial problem? Why, you send your daughter out, Chelsea Clinton. You send her out to talk to the young people. And then when they ask her about one of the subjects that young people are always asking about, and this is not like a surprise, every election year you've got younger college age people asking about marijuana legalization or medical marijuana. She gets asked a question about, does her mother support rescheduling, more science, more study? Yes, yes, of course she does, but...
But we also have anecdotal evidence now from Colorado where some of the people who were taking marijuana for those purposes, the coroner believes after they died, there was drug interactions.
Now, she got soundly criticized for that, and millennials noticed quite easily. They're not stupid. They've been following the marijuana issue, and they know no one's died from it. So you immediately lose some of that possible support you were trying to gain by issuing this terrible gaffe. You might as well have had Chelsea gone out there and told the millennials that hipster mustaches suck. And, you know, downloading music is immoral, right? You really want to bring the millennials over to your side, right? So get on board, Hillary, with marijuana legalization. these young folks that are switching over to Gary Johnson, it's not because he's against free public college, that he wants to repeal Obamacare that gives you insurance, that he thinks Citizens United is a good thing. No, they're jumping to him because A, he's not an establishment candidate, and B, he supports legalizing marijuana. Now, there's nothing you can do, Hillary, about being an establishment candidate, but you could come out in favor of marijuana legalization and get in front of an issue for once and actually lead for once, and you might see some millennials turn your way.
Oh, Piggy can run.
I don't expect her to do it. But Hillary Clinton needs to start asking herself whether all those donations from the pharmaceutical industry, the private prison industry, keeping those promises to keep marijuana illegal are worth not being elected because she can't get the millennial vote.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Mindful of sustainable practices and limiting their environmental footprint, Sansal Hemp is always grown outdoors, as nature intended. By starting with uniform genetic profiles, Sansal ensures the plant will maintain its optimal performance and yield consistently throughout its life cycle. It is through innovative processes that Sansal is able to achieve pure whole hemp extracts and meet industry requirements and the level of quality desired by many of their customers. Healthy plants, healthy people. SansalCBD.com. Improve your lifestyle naturally.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Who's your favorite foreign leader? I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment. I'm having a brain.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we have new data from BDS Analytics, and they have released their report on the first 6 months of the Oregon cannabis market. And it's an interesting report here. It gives us some sales figures, some price points, and some comparisons of products here. What we find is that our market has doubled over the past 6 months from month to month. We sold $12.5 million in retail cannabis products in January. That number was $24.9 million in June. So we've just about doubled it, according to BDS Analytics. An interesting part of the doubling of the sales has to do with the graduated rollout of what we were allowed to purchase. In January, when the purchases were allowed, we could only buy a quarter ounce of flower. and no other products. In June, they modified it so that we could buy concentrates and edibles. So previously, just flower and pre-rolls, you know, pre-rolled joints. And then June, we added concentrates and edibles. The flower sales have been growing at a monthly rate of 15% a month. Pre-rolls have grown at 23% a month. Combined, those two flower products were $21 million in May. That was the last month where there was no concentrates or extracts sold. But once we added concentrates, edibles, extracts, we started to see those gaining a significant share of the market. They came to $6.2 million out of the $24.9 million sold in June. So that's a 24% share. Flower fell from the 85% share that it held in May to a 62% share in June. Pre-rolls dropped from 10% to 7%. That's not to say they are selling less flower in pre-rolls. It's just to say that the share that they make up compared to the edibles and the extracts have gone down. This is something we've seen in the other legal states. In 2 years of Washington sales, we went from flower being 87% of the products to 61% of the products sold. But the difference would be is that took Washington state 2 years before that kind of leveled out, before we found flower to decrease to being less than 2/3 of all sales. In Oregon, that happened immediately. We immediately got concentrates and edibles and we dropped down to 62%. So kind of an interesting thing happening there. But this has not affected the continued sales of flower. And most specifically, now there was a decrease in total flower sales from May to June. But the June numbers for flower pretty much match the April numbers for flower. So we can expect that to continue to increase. The new additions of concentrates and edibles and topicals didn't affect the price of flower, though. And for those of you listening out in the East Coast or in the Midwest, just hold on, you know, sit down before I mention this. The average retail selling price for marijuana flower in the state of Oregon for the first 6 months is $9.33 a gram. $9.33 a gram for marijuana here in Oregon. You work the math out on that, it's about $150 an ounce. So for my debate opponents that I'll be facing off on Wednesday at the State House in Sacramento, who think Prop 215 is perfect and California medical is all you really need and why legalize, I just ask you what you're paying per gram for your weed. How much can you get an ounce for? Because here in the legal Pacific Northwest, I can get an ounce for $150 in Oregon and Washington under legalization with taxes. So I'll be bringing that up for sure. In Oregon, we've got more than 50 brands in our concentrates category. We've got more than 90 brands in our edibles category. And the top 10 concentrate brands, the top 10 out of 50 or more, average sales were $240,000 each and accounted for 56% of concentrate dollars. So concentrates make up $4.3 million of the June retail sales. And of those concentrates, about half of that, $2.3 million, is pre-filled cartridges. The rest, oil, shatter, and live resin, making up less than, about $1 million all combined. The edible sales work out about $1.6 million, with candy and chocolates being the biggest categories there. And for the people that get that information, they often bring this up as if it's a problem. You know, Kevin Sabet and those people are saying this isn't about criminal justice or racial justice. It's they want to sell all those edibles to our kids. They want to sell our edibles to their kids. It's not about smoking weed. Well, part of the reason why the edibles and the concentrates, especially the pre-filled stuff, sell so well is the convenience of it. Sure, people could buy some flour and take it home and decarboxylate it and make some butter with it and then use the butter to make some cookies with it and stink up their kitchen and take up a lot of time. Or they can just go to the dispensary and get what they want to get and not have to deal with all that hassle. So that's the reason we're seeing these sales figures of, you know, 25% of these retail sales are being these sorts of products. Also, among the people who are long-term cannabis consumers who've been doing this for years and years and years, I've got a hookup or maybe growing their own, they're not buying flower in the shops. That's for the tourists. That's for the occasional user. That's for the every now and then guy. We've got our hookup. We've got our grow. We've already gotten that taken care of. It's the edibles and the tinctures and stuff we want. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Jorge Cervantes is on with us in Cultivator's Corner. Your live calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
What can Arizona learn from Colorado? We can tightly regulate and tax the sale of marijuana. According to the Colorado State Government, marijuana use among high school students has not increased since legalization. At the same time, Colorado is generating millions in new tax dollars for public schools. Here in Arizona, we finally have a choice. We can vote yes on Prop 205 and provide $55 million to our public schools every year. Let's vote yes on Prop 205.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Woo! Okay.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com. They say marijuana grows like a weed, but growing high-quality marijuana takes more than just throwing a seed in the ground. Join us as we speak with the most recognized cannabis horticulturists in the world and take your live grow questions in our Cultivator's Corner.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to our Cultivator's Corner. Joining us by telephone, we've got Jorge Cervantes on the line. Jorge, how you doing?
Real good, Russ. It's great to be here.
Where are you?
I'm actually, I'm up in Redding, California. I thought I'd be able to make it all the way to Weed, California, and I'm on my way before the show. But anyway, yeah, I'm on my way up to Oregon.
Right on. So I would love to have talked to you live from Weed. That would have been pretty cool. So you're coming up here to Oregon. It's Croptober is happening. Harvests are happening. And we got questions that are building up in our chat room and plus our live call line is open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. And so what's happening up in Oregon for you?
Well, I've got a family event to go to. And then also I'm going to go back to Southern Oregon and take a lot of video of the harvest that's going on now.
Yeah, it's amazing down there in Southern Oregon. I've seen, you know, 15-foot, 20-foot plants, you know, 5-pound yield. It's remarkable what they do down there.
Yeah, actually, they're doing better than that. They were saying they had up to 15 pounds 2 years ago. That was a great year to grow. And this year, I'm hoping to see, I mean, I'm sure I'll see lots and lots of 10-pound plants.
Yeah.
They're huge down there. It's amazing.
It's just amazing. And part of what kind of developed that was Oregon's initial, you know, medical marijuana law and you know, setting a plant limit. And so everybody said, oh, well, we can only have this many plants. We better make them as big as we can. And boy, they sure did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It was really good because I remember years ago we were growing 5-pound plants and that we thought that was the limit. But all they had to do was give us another goal, and of course, we're going to meet it.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, we've got a question from our chat room, a couple of them building up here. One that asks about, everybody knows you from your grow books and your grow videos, but they want to know if you're going to be getting involved in the grow market legally as either a licensed grower or maybe one of the pick and shovel guys selling, you know, tools and accessories and stuff. What are your plans to grow your business as marijuana becomes legal?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. That's a real good question, Russ, and it's something I fight with all the time. I'm pretty burned out, you know. I mean, I've been at this 33 years publicly, and so I've always worked on my own and stuff. So now I've got a couple of opportunities. I don't know. We'll just see how everything works out. One's with a seed company. And the others with doing some cultivation stuff. So we'll see how it works out, but it's really a bit early to tell. To be honest, I could go either way.
You know, Jorge, we could go really old school, and you could sell the Jorge Cervantes Halloween disguise costume. You go back to the old school.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, some people have come as me for Halloween gone as me to the, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's pretty interesting.
Another question here, since you're talking to us from California, our listeners wanted to know, they've read a lot about there being drought over the past few years in California. Is that still the case? Is it affecting the harvest and the crops?
Yeah, it's not affecting the harvest as much, but there is a drought going on now, and there has been for some years. Where I live in Sonoma, California, we're hoping for a little bit of rain on Sunday, but most all of that rain stays, basically north of, in a long ways north in California. So, I've definitely seen big problems. But like I say, it costs more water. It's more work. I haven't seen it really cut the crop per se.
So we could still get quality buds out of this harvest, just maybe not as many, and they cost more?
Hey, well, no, I don't know if they'll cost more because everybody's growing a lot of cannabis now. I mean, it's pretty amazing. People are really doubling down on their crops, growing 2-3 times, 4 times as much as the year before. Because what everybody's concerned about is when the law passes and we have some really stiff regulations to deal with, we're going to have to conform here in California. And I think people are looking at this year and next year as the last years that it's going to be kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah, yeah, and there's going to be a lot of upheaval in some of those northern California economies as well as they try to adjust to this.
Everything's going to change like night and day. It's a pretty rough one. That, in fact, I'm going to present a seminar at the Canna Expo Grow at the end of October in Denver. And one of the things I started thinking about for the seminar was how much does it cost to grow inside, indoors, outdoors, and in a greenhouse? And it is amazing. It's like 3 times, maybe 4 times, depends on a few things, but to grow indoors as it is to grow in a greenhouse or outdoors. So we're going to see all kinds of people growing outdoors and in greenhouses. And then after that, we're also going to see, they're going to start using tractors and farm implements, and they're going to have to start growing on flat land because I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many grow
growth situations I've been in or growth that I've been at. And it takes you a half hour on a dirt road to get there.
Yeah.
And that's not real efficient, you know? So we're going to see a lot of big changes. And it's going to be good and bad. There's going to be winners and losers.
No kidding. It happens in just about every major technological or regulatory change. We see that sort of effect. We're speaking with Jorge Cervantes. Our phone line is open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. If you've got a question for one of the most legendary cannabis cultivators out there, and we've got one from our chat room, Jorge. He's asking, he's saying that he recently started using neem oil and is having really good results with it. What can you say about neem oil and how often to apply it and when should you stop using it?
Well, neem oil is really good stuff. Actually, there's several neem products. There's what you can get, neem soap, for example, neem toothbrush or toothpaste and whatnot. But you can also get it in oil form and in a concentrate. And then, let's see, I forget exactly how it works with the Azomax. There's also another product called Azomax that's a real heavy-duty concentrate of the neem. But it's broad spectrum. It'll kill everything, so you got to remember that. And it's a little heavy. It leaves a little bit of a film on the leaves. So I wouldn't use it too close to harvest. And then you can use it like, you know, a month, maybe a couple of weeks before harvest, but that's gotten a little close. And then after you use it, or when you harvest, just rinse your buds off, your harvested buds off, in water that's had some H2O2, hydrogen peroxide, added to it. And that'll rinse everything off and take any residuals away. So you can use it really... You can use it up till harvest, but I don't know. I still have kind of a weird feeling about that.
All right. Great question. And no, a lot of people are asking that one and trying to take care of pest management and mold and mildew and all the other terrible things that can happen. At this point, as we're reaching the harvest season, are there things that can't be fixed? Like you get your crop, it's time to harvest, and you're just going to have to destroy it because there's no saving it. What are the big crop killers?
Oh, the biggest one that some people get really, really bad is powdery mildew. And once that takes over your plants, a lot of times, you know, people will still consume it with powdery mildew on it. They'll just wash off everything on the outside. But, you know, that's really not a good idea to consume tainted cannabis like that, especially if you have any type of respiratory problems. So that's probably the biggest one. And I've seen it kill entire crops. Then bud mold is also big, but that you can cut out. You can just cut that right out of the bud. And then other things like, well, usually it happens earlier in the year. When there's less water around, the rodents will come in and girdle the plant. And, you know, there's no turning back from that one. Mm. Also, here's something that's really important, especially now during harvest time. Because, like, last night it dipped down to, like, 45 degrees in Sonoma. And that's pretty cool. So if people go and start watering their plants a lot, and especially late in the day, and they don't need so much water, well, that water will stay in there, and it'll start to drown the roots. And when the roots drown, they rot. So when they start rotting, a fungus starts. So that's the other thing. Be real careful with watering, especially overwatering late in the day now. Yeah, Yeah, those are the three biggest things, I think.
All right. Great advice. And, of course, folks, you can find more of this great advice at Jorge's website, marijuanagrowing.com, or his YouTube channel where there's some great videos out. And you can get the Cannabis Encyclopedia, which is an amazing tome of a wealth of cannabis cultivation knowledge. Any appearances or places that you'd like to mention as far as people getting a book or an autograph?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Well, as far as getting a book, you know, most people buy it on Amazon because it's a $50 book, and the thing's huge, you know, the Cannabis Encyclopedia I'm referring to. And so since it's a $50 book, Amazon discounts everything down, and they discounted it down to $35. So it's a fair deal there. And a lot of the, some of the grocery stores won't, or a lot of the grocery stores are still apprehensive to carry grow books or marijuana books, and some of the dispensaries do. So, and then, but I'll tell you, all of the bookstores carry it. Except there's one big problem, is usually they don't order enough, and it's not in stock.
Hmm.
So that's why I say go to Amazon.
All right. We got a chatter here wants to know, how about an autographed copy? You got some events coming up where they can stop by and get your autograph on it?
Yeah, I'll be, like I said, in Denver. Let's see. I've got that file open, my travel file. Yeah, I'll be in Denver. Oh, I guess I closed it. At the end of this month, and then I'll be at the big fair in Santa Rosa, the Emerald Cup in December, and then I think I'm going to go to that business show in Las Vegas in November.
Yeah. All right.
And then also you can order autographed copies off the website.
Oh.
And you should do that before December, because I go back to Spain then.
All right. Make sure you get that done as soon as possible. It makes a great Christmas gift. Jorge Cervantes, MarijuanaGrowing.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay, thank you so much, Russ.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here.
All right, folks, stay tuned. We've got more coming up. Radical rant on how Breitbart and others are trying to convince you that marijuana causes terrorism.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
My guests say Razzie Berry. We're talking about nature, naturopathic medicine, as well as the concept of prevention and preventing disease.
Empower people to live a naturopathic lifestyle. Get to know your body, understand its rhythms, remove toxins, and use natural alternatives whenever possible. 90 to 95% of cancers are due to environment and lifestyle risk factors. I mean, that's a huge number. That means that cancer is preventable.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
But we also have anecdotal evidence now from Colorado where some of the people who were taking marijuana for those purposes, the coroner believes after they died, there was drug interactions.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale.
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
One of the more insidious and reprehensible attacks we face on marijuana legalization from our opponents is the attempt to tie the latest school shooting or mall shooting or terrorist activity to the marijuana consumption revealed by the perpetrator of said heinous acts. The most recent one, of course, would be the mall shooting up in Washington State, up there in Burlington, where 20-year-old Seton, what's his name? Seton, Arsan Seton, I think's his name, shot and killed five people there in Washington State in a shopping mall. Now, we've heard this toking causes terrorism angle taken before. The person who perpetrated this most in my mind, or at least to my attention, is Christine Tatum, a writer, journalist, I guess, in Denver, who is married to Dr. Christian Thurstone. He's the head of a Denver area teen drug rehab center and, of course, a supporter of Project Sam. In fact, one of the founding board members. So Tatum and her husband, you know, Christine and Christian, they have been longtime reefer madness advocates and opponents of Amendment 64 in Colorado, who claim that Colorado's gone to hell since there's been marijuana legalization. Tatum brought up the connection to terrorism when the Boston Marathon bombing happened, and it was revealed that the Sarnaev brothers, or Sarnaev, the one that lived, I guess, was a frequent marijuana consumer. And so she decides that that connection means that it was marijuana. Marijuana makes people go psycho, makes them pick up an axe and kill people, makes them bomb people, makes them shoot people. Marijuana drove them to madness. Now, it's silly on its face. I mean, it's something that, you know, harkens back to 1936 reefer madness. The idea that, you know, one toke and he was captivated by the spell and became murderous. And, you know, it's the same sort of stuff that they ginned up against blacks and Mexicans back in the 30s and 40s, even before that, to scare people about the effects of drugs. Not the white folks, of course. White folks can take drugs. Everything's fine. It's the same sort of attitude, except now it's being used not against particularly or specifically blacks and Latinos, but it works out that way based on the way our system tends to arrest people for marijuana. But now it's just against the concept of marijuana legalization itself, against the plant itself, and those of us who support it. So she began this. Tatum began this back, what was Boston, 2013? There have been a few others that have taken this up. Most recently, I've seen the group Pop Pot. They call them Pop Pot, P-O-P-P-O-T, Pop Pot, poppot.org. Pop stands for Parents Opposed to Pot. So the full name of the group is Parents Opposed to Pop Pot. Anyway, these people, these Puritans, also have rung the bell about school shooters, and then they list a bunch of them, you know, the Harris and Klebold going back to Columbine and every guy since then that they can find that smokes marijuana. They bring that up and say, aha, you see, marijuana causes terrorism, causes violence, causes unpredictable, chaotic, manic behavior. Never mind that they don't bother to include all the people that commit shootings and heinous acts and crimes that don't have a history of marijuana. Never mind that they don't see a more correlative drug in these cases being SSRIs, antidepressants, drugs that the FDA themselves will tell you can cause anger, irritability, and suicidal ideation. No, it's the pot. It's got to be the pot, they say. Well, the latest example of this and why I bring this rant up today comes from Breitbart News. And news, I put in scare quotes because it's Breitbart. Now, some of my chatters out there, when I was teasing this, they didn't know what Breitbart was. Well, Andrew Breitbart was one of these right-wing muckrakers. He's dead now, but his legacy lives on in this website called Breitbart. And it's kind of the, you know, I don't know, Drudge Report, Fox News, that you know, if you took Fox News and you added a dash of Alex Jones, right, you'd get yourself into the Breitbart area. So Breitbart has this story out today, and the headline is a masterpiece of implied reefer madness. They get away with writing this in such a way that the reader can say, can interpret it to mean what they want it to mean without them getting caught or called out for directly saying it. In politics, they call this dog whistling. Okay, so this isn't exactly a dog whistle. This is more of a grammatical misdirection. Here's the headline. The headline from Breitbart is, from police, Cascade mall shooter Arkan Seton blamed cannabis for his behavior. Oh my God. You read that headline, that the mall shooter blames cannabis for his behavior. He went to the mall, he shot people up, and then he told police pot made him do it. My God, man, how much more proof do you need? Christine Tatum must be thinking. The killer himself blamed marijuana, caused the terrorism, blamed cannabis for his behavior. You read that headline, you get that tweet coming across your feed, and you're like, yeah, huh? There you go, see? Pothead's going to be terrorists. Well, problem is, you dig a little deeper into this, you actually read the thing. Here's the lead paragraph. The Associated Press published more details about alleged Cascade Mall shooter Arkan Seton on Wednesday, including the assertion that cannabis use was the cause of his prior brushes with the law. Oh, okay. So headline leads you in with, oh, mall shooter blames that on marijuana. No, the mall shooter blamed his past brushes with the law. The other times he's been busted and put on probation and all the things he had to go through. And it's pretty bad stuff that he did. I mean, he's you know, assault charges and other problems that he's got. But, yeah, that's the little misdirection they give you. Let the headline lead you into thinking that he's blaming pot for the shooting, when in fact he was blaming pot for things that had happened in the past. Also, it's also interesting to note that the Associated Press details the fact that he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, anxiety disorder, and depression. Oh, okay, guy's got PTSD, ADHD, anxiety, and depression. But it's the pot that led him to be the murderous terrorist type, right? That's the problem. It's the pot. They bring up other stories about how this guy, or other reports of how he attempted suicide in the past. He made unwanted sexual advances at girls in class. He overdosed on his prescription drugs several times. But it's the pot that's the problem here. It's just amazing to me. Well, I guess it's not amazing after all these years of covering it, how quickly the people who are bigoted and prejudiced against marijuana and its consumers can draw the most specious of correlations to try to back, and they're getting even more and more desperate as time goes on, because year after year, as legalization doesn't make the sky fall, their most cherished talking points are withering on the vine. They can't really make that talking point anymore about, well, there'll never be any tax revenue. For every $1 we spend in alcohol, we get in alcohol and tobacco taxes, there's $10 in costs. That doesn't work anymore because we've made $100 million in marijuana taxes and nobody can point out $1 billion in costs. That lie has been exposed. The lie about the lack of IQ points, the loss of IQ points, it's been exposed. The gateway drug theory, that it's going to somehow lead you to dangerous drugs, has been exposed. The idea that it's some sort of dangerous drug that can't be controlled is now thought of as something that's not only just safer than alcohol, safer than tobacco, but people think it's safer than sugar. So we're going to continue to see more of these desperate, desperate measures from our opponents. But there's just something reprehensible about trying to tie the latest tragedy to marijuana smoking. That's all the time we got for our first hour, but stay tuned. Hour two is next. Toker Talk Radio. We're going to bring up the Brangelina breakup and how Brad Pitt's being forced to piss for his kids, and some data on drug testing. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it.